Welcome back to the Doom of the Month episode. This is the Comics of Doom podcast, Hunter Camp.
Is it?
This is for the month of October, and specifically, we wanted to do a little horror-themed. Also, with the Walking Dead TV show coming out October 31st, we wanted to spotlight the first two trade paperbacks in the series. So this is going to be covering the first 12 issues of The Walking Dead.
You know, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. So if you have not read The Walking Dead issues 1 through 12, go buy them and read them, because we're going to be spoiling them here. And yeah, there are some things that happen that you probably don't want to know about until you read it. So stop listening and go buy them and read them. They're good. All right. Now
we're only going to be talking about the first one.
Oh, and when you go buy them, if you haven't bought them already, I think you should go to instocktrades.com or DCB service, because those are the places that you want to go to save money and buy more Walking Deads, because after you buy the first two, you're going to be hooked, Hunter Camp, and you're going to want to buy all of the trades. So that's instocktrades.com and dcbservice.com. This episode, we have a special guest from Geeks of Doom, our very own Brian Mercator. How you doing, Brian?
Great. How are you?
Good. We are glad that you were able to join us, because we had a couple of other stiffs on our show that didn't want to join us. So thanks for joining us, Brian.
Oh, glad I could make it.
And this is your first time appearing on the podcast, so we don't know too much about your likes and dislikes, but
I know he likes the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
I do. That is true. That is true.
We'll discuss that on our sports podcast later. But I wanted to ask you, what is your experience with The Walking Dead? Like, how did you find out about the series, and why did you start reading it?
Well, I found out about it when the show was announced, and seeing a lot of the promo stuff for the show, and then just asking friends of mine that were into comic books, like, you know, hey, have you heard about this show coming out based on, you know, a book? And they're like, what are you, nuts? You've never read The Walking Dead? So I immediately felt like an idiot and went out and picked up some of the trades, and it's fantastic. And I don't know how I've missed it after all these years, but it's great.
All right. Well, I think I came to it through, I was listening to a comic book podcast called Comic Geek Speak when I got back into comics a few years ago, and this was one of those books that they just always talked about. So I took a mental note and I said, I have to read this Walking Dead, because they just keep talking about it. And as soon as I started reading, I was hooked from the very first issue, and I loved it. Just everything about it, especially the first trade, which we're going to be talking about here, the first six issues were with the Tony Moore art. That, for me, was fantastic. I really do miss Tony Moore's art now that, you know, Charlie Adlard's done, since issue 7 to issue 78, he's done the art. And it really is kind of the identity of the series. But when I first read those first six issues, to me, that felt like Walking Dead. That really encompassed the series for me. I guess it's one of those things where it's whatever your first taste of something is. Like, I was talking about this on another Geeks of Doom podcast, where when you hear an original song versus when you hear a cover song, sometimes whatever the original version that you hear is, that becomes your favorite or your original. So if you heard the cover song first, sometimes you'll like that more than the original. Or if you see a movie remake first and then you go back and see the original. Not saying that that happens all the time, but sometimes that does happen to me. So I think maybe this is a case where I like this Tony Moore art because that was the first thing that I saw. And so that kind of imprinted onto my brain as like, okay, this is Walking Dead. So.
But to be fair, like, Charlie Adlard's and art and Tony Moore's art aren't that different. Like, when you actually, like, compare the two, you know, especially in Walking Dead, I mean, they're very similar. Tony Moore has, like, a smoother, cleaner style. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, apart from that, they draw the characters very similarly.
Mm-hmm. So that was the way that I came to The Walking Dead. Hunter Camp, I know you're a big fan of horror comics. And
I am.
Just horror in general. It doesn't matter what the medium is. So how did you come to Walking Dead?
Well, I had
I started reading Walking Dead before I started getting back into monthly comics. I had been watching a lot of Fresh Ink with Blair Butler, and also, and it's, you know, if you're familiar with Fresh Ink with Blair Butler at all, she was all about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think that's still her favorite comic. Yeah. She still talks about it all the time.
Yeah, constantly. Also, when what really kind of sold the deal, I started actually listening to you know, a small-time podcast about comic books called Geekland. And they had a couple of hosts on there by the name of Willie Gillis and Justin Backer. I don't know if you're familiar with these people. but they talked about The Walking Dead a lot on that podcast, so that kind of sold me really completely on the series. So I started picking up the trades and got a bunch of my friends into it. They are very much further ahead than I am now at this point. I think I'm just about maybe halfway through the series. I think there's 14 trades out or something along those lines, and I'm up to 7, I think. But yeah, that's pretty much where you know, the style, obviously the zombie apocalypse thing.
I want to tell our listeners real quick. Let me butt in here. There are 12 trades currently available, and the 13th comes out November 17th.
Okay, there you go. So I guess technically there would be about 14 volumes at this point with ongoing. So I've got to about 7. I am into horror. I feel like this is more than a lot of the stuff that's going on in Walking Dead is a lot more than just horror. There's mm-hmm. horror comics that are in there just for you know, the scare, the gore or whatever. And that's fine, you know, I enjoy that, but I think that Walking Dead really ends up being a character analysis more than anything else. Much like in the case of Lost, it's got supernatural elements all around it, but that's not really what it's about. It's about, you know, it's about these characters and how they interact and you know, about each one of them.
Yeah,
and I think that does the same.
That is what I like about the series. And they were talking about this on Comic Geek Speak when I first, as I said, that's how I came to find out about it. And they said that it's not about zombies, even though it's a zombie book where there are zombies in the background. It's a character drama about the survivors and how they cope with living in this world with zombies in it. So zombies are a part of the world, and they are a major motivating factor in it. But the real crux of the story is with the survivors. And I have a friend over here in Arizona who hates zombies. Like, he hates Shaun of the Dead. He hates everything that has zombies in it. And I tried to get him to read Walking Dead, and he was like, no, that's a zombie book. And I tried to express that to him. I said, no, it's not a zombie. It has zombies in it, but it's not a zombie book per se. It's, like I said, it's about the characters, and it's about their survival in this world. And I've been working on him for about four or five years now to pick up the book, and he's reluctant. But I got an email from him this morning that said maybe he'll try it out. So hopefully I'm wearing away at his defenses. But yeah, it is, if we haven't said it before, it's a group of people trying to survive in a world stricken by a zombie apocalypse. So that's just the main story. And the first character that we see is Officer Rick Grimes, and he gets shot and goes into a coma, wakes up. I don't know if it was a month later or a couple weeks later, but he wakes up in a hospital, and we are seeing the world from his point of view. We are just as confused as he is because we're experiencing it from his point of view in the first trade. And it felt a lot like, is it 28 Days Later? Is that the first movie?
28 Days Later, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a lot like that to me at first when I was reading it. But through that, through Rick's eyes, then we get exposed to all of the other characters as he comes into contact with them. So Rick is kind of like the protagonist of the story, but as it progresses, he meets more and more people, and the story becomes larger and larger. Brian, I forgot to ask you, how far are you in the series currently?
I'm through the first two trades.
Okay, great. You have definitely some great things ahead of you, and it's fun talking to people who are just getting into the series, or they're very early on in the series, because it's, and I reread these first two trades just for this episode, and it's fun to go back and think about, man, it's amazing where these characters have gone, because they almost don't resemble the same characters later on in the series. That they're almost like different people because of their experiences. So it's fun to go back and look at where they started and how far they've progressed. But it's also fun to talk to people and think about, wow, you have a lot in store for you as you progress, because there's so many twists and turns that you're not expecting.
And yeah, and that's one of like Kurtzman's big things, was like making twists as many times as possible, almost with a lot of the issues and a lot of the stories. So
yeah, and Robert Kirkman has said, and if you read it in the trades, you don't get the letters columns that are in the back of each individual issue, and I think those are really a treasure to behold. I wonder, Hunter Camp, do you know if any of the hardcovers or the omnibuses have those letters pages in them?
I think they do, but I'm not sure. I had a friend that was reading like the book one, book two type things.
Yeah,
there was about like four trades a piece, I think.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's kind of hard to talk about collected issues, because okay, first you have the soft cover trade paperbacks. That's what we're talking about here today, the first 2 6 issue volumes. And then there's the hardcovers, which collect two of the paperbacks. So the hardcovers are called book one, book two, book three. And then you have the omnibus editions, which are 24, which collect two of the hardcovers. And then there's a compendium, which collects 48. Yeah. And that came out. So sometimes it's hard when you say, you know, I'm reading Walking Dead, and you're like, what book are you on? And
like, well, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. So that it's kind of hard to do that. But I've only read the paperbacks.
That's all I've been reading.
Yeah, I haven't read the hardcover or the omnibus. So I'm wondering what bonus features are in both of those.
I want to think that it does have that kind of thing in it, and like some like sketch work and stuff like that. But, I'm not completely positive, because I don't think I've actually even looked at one.
Yeah. I do want to say, if you read them in the actual issues as they're coming out, those letters columns where Robert Kirkman, the writer, answers all of the fan questions are quite spectacular. I always look forward to those in all of the books that Robert Kirkman writes. So that's something to look forward to. So getting back to the issues here, or the volumes, the first volume, Hunter Camp, what did you think?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to go back and grasp my original opinion of it. But I remember being completely excited and just going through it and really kind of like expecting, I think, the, you know, zombie comic, and then ultimately getting like some real like emotional, like heart-wrenching moments, like how Rick is separated from his wife and his son, and ultimately leading up to when he actually reunites with them, and then kind of like all the stuff in between, those bits of fun that you'd see like maybe in a movie like Zombieland, for example, where it's kind of like they're having fun doing what they're doing when he runs into the father and the son, you know. So kind of like when he comes to and he's realizing what's going on, you know, he's still not completely given up hope. He's actually still very hopeful. And when he's basically like, we'll go shopping, or let's go shopping, or do you want to go shopping, excuse me? And when they're going to find a car, and they're going to for gun practice, and, you know, picking up weapons and stuff. So, I mean, it's got those moments of this very real human moments where you can still find hope and fun in the worst experiences. But then ultimately, again, them going to Atlanta, the landscape is actually familiar, because I'm kind of in the Mid-South area. So it's kind of like I've got a feeling for that Georgia area and everything. So I remember that being familiar with me, and really kind of being into it more because of that. I mean, like, well, what if this really happened? And basically this story is a pretty good depiction of what would happen in the instance of a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, and the protagonist, Rick Grimes, is actually from Kentucky, which Robert Kirkman is from Kentucky as well, so set it close to home there. But yeah, that's something that I like as well, that Georgia-Atlanta setting, and each book almost is a different setting as you progress in the series, but we won't talk about that. But I do like how it's not the same thing or stagnant or, mm-hmm. you know, not changing at all. So it's very much a dynamic story that you never know what's going to happen and where they're going to end up. So the first book takes place largely near Atlanta, and then the second book, they start off on the road and find a farm in the countryside. And at the very end, like the last shot of the second issue, they find a prison, which is going to play very much into the storyline as it progresses, Brian. And
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you have, like I said, I'm just kind of eagerly anticipating when you get to that part, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in that prison, which was weird for me because it reminded me of the Resident Evil movie that just came out, which took place in a prison with zombies and felt very much like Walking Dead to me. But
that's probably where they got the idea.
Yeah. I do want to say, like you were saying, Hunter, the drama aspect of it. When I was rereading these first two trades, I was saying, man, now you can really see why it would make such a good idea field for the TV show and why they would want to greenlight a TV show, because this is some great drama that comes out of this, and that's it's just a fertile field for them to pluck from. So that's something that I noticed as I was reading it again. Brian, for your personal taste, we talked a little bit about the artist change from Toni Moore in the first book to Charlie Adlard in the second book. Did you have a personal preference that you liked more than one over the other?
I think I liked the first collection a little bit more. The second book seemed to be the shadow seemed to be a little bit heavier, drawn a little bit darker. I definitely thought the style of the first collection, kind of the facial expressions were just a little bit sharper. So I definitely prefer those first six books.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna just interject here for just a second. I think also how that plays into what's actually going on in the story. Because in the first trade, there's a lot of positivity going on, you know, for the most part. I mean, there's some issues, but overall, you know, it still maintains that, you know, we have a chance of surviving. And when you go to the second one, then things get a lot darker. And, you know, from the last page of the first volume, you know, going into the second one, I mean, I'd say that things take a pretty sharp, dark turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the color palette, because obviously, you know, it's monochromatic. I think it fits the story too. So I mean, like that heavier ink style, I think works with the second trade.
Oh yeah, I definitely don't dislike the second books, but I think if I had to pick, you know, one artistic style over the other, I think I would go with the first set. But I definitely see what you're saying. I mean, it takes. Certainly a darker term when you go to the first one. I mean, to the second one. I mean, the first one, you're kind of getting to know the cast of characters, figure out just what exactly is going on. And then that second book hits, and it's like, all right, how are these people actually dealing with what's going on? And just kind of really just tugging on the psyche of a lot of these characters.
Yeah, you see the slowly unraveling of a lot of the different characters. And that is fun to watch as well. It's fun in one way, but then it's kind of horrifying in another way just to see these people, because you know
It's definitely a good read.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a hard time describing it as fun myself.
Yeah, you see them. They start out as such nice people, and you feel like you get to know them, especially over the long period. And then as certain people start to lose their mind, and then certain people die, that's something that kind of plays on you as well, which... Robert Kirkman has said that no one is safe, and you see that constantly throughout the book, because it's not like a normal TV show or movie or something like that where you know the characters, no matter what happens, most of the time the main characters are safe. And it's not like on Star Trek with the red shirts, that people you had never heard of that just show up on an episode and then they're, oh, yep, that guy's going to die right there. It's not like that in this book. It's you get to know these characters, you get to love them. And then Robert Kirkman kills them. So it's, yeah, there is no one safe in this book.
That's last forever.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you see what happens to these characters, and you know, initially you might say, oh, wow, I can't believe that this happened to this person, that, that they've kind of degraded this much. But then you think about it and you're like, I you could totally see this happening to people.
Yeah.
You know, none of it is so, like, you know, bizarre to kind of think that it couldn't really happen. And I think that's the thing that's almost most horrific, if you're going to classify it as kind of like a horror comic.
And you put you put yourself in their shoes too, and you say, "What would I do in this situation?" That I think also makes it more real.
When mm-hmm. you kill myself,
yeah, and you have that. So that's another thing that I was thinking about, Hunter. I don't know if you noticed this,
mm-hmm.
but a certain thing that ties all of the books together. If you put all of the little trade paperbacks together, right, side by side, they form a little. I don't know what you would call it, like a scene. They basically fit together, a diorama or something, where all of the art flows like so from book to book to book. So
and mainly the zombies on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, I'm not sure if I would have noticed this or not, but there was a store in Nashville, Tennessee, called The Great Escape, which is now closed, surprisingly, right? But it actually had like all the volumes set up like standing next to each other. So I mean that's kind of how I initially noticed that. Mm. But yeah, and actually little tidbit, if you put the first two together, the zombie in the middle's face doesn't necessarily line up.
What?
Well that kind of lines up, but like the shirt doesn't and everything. It's kind of weird.
Maybe they weren't quite sure what they were going to do at that point. But yeah, also probably. Each paperback has a three-word title. I don't know if you noticed that either, Hunter Kim.
I'm not looking at the rest of them, so no, probably didn't.
All right.
I don't think I've looked at them all together.
Yeah, but like the first one's called Days Gone By. The second one's Miles Behind Us. Third mm-hmm. one's Safety Behind Bars. So,
and then there's like Fear of the Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah, I knew that one would stand out to you. But
of course it did.
Yeah. Is there anything... I know we've... reaped praise upon this series, and this is one of our favorite books, although we don't talk about it too much on Comics of Doom. Is there anything that you did not like about the first two volumes? I'll start with Brian.
Tough question. I really don't think that there was. Everything was really well written, great character development, good art. I think the part where Rick gets rescued when he first gets to Atlanta was kind of like that kid was almost just like a little bit too good. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. and that was the only thing that kind of drug me out of them at the beginning was kind of like, he was like, come this way and we'll get out and we're out. Hooray. but that would be a very minor complaint. I think that's the only thing that I can put a finger on as I read through these. And I was kind of, you know, scrunch my face up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hunter, was there any glaring things that stood out to you?
The most glaring thing that I did not enjoy about these first two was the way that my heart was ripped out of my chest, thrown on the ground, and stomped upon. I didn't enjoy that so much.
No, you liked it.
Only when you do it, Justin Doctor. Only when you do it.
This is why you are a horror fan, Hunter Kent. This
I don't like
things.
I mean, I'd like to see somebody's heart get ripped out, thrown on the ground, and get stomped on, but I don't like it when it happens to me.
Oh, okay. Alright.
Which part did that to you?
Well, really it was the friend of Rick's, his wife, or Rick's wife and Rick's son. Like mm-hmm. that whole like sort of love triangle thing going on. Mm-hmm. What actually ended up happening, which we saw in the first, we kind of knew it happened, but when we saw it, I think it was in the beginning of the second one, like literally what happened, that was painful. The fact that, you know, the guy lost his mind and the little kid ended up having to kill this guy because he was about to kill his father, you know, I mean, like all of that is very, very emotional and not going to end in a good way regardless of what the situation is. And it's kind of like that whole, like, you know, that seed that's planted in your mind, like, is this Rick's, you know, his wife's pregnant, but is it even Rick's kid? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, you're completely plagued with that the entire time. And that is not so much an enjoyable thing. It's not a fun read there, but I think that it's the actual weight of it is so good, and it's written so well, and it's handled with such care. You can't ignore how good it is.
Yeah,
but it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those books that you don't read The Walking Dead for a fun romp, a lighthearted jolt through the comics world. This is one of those books. This is kind of a depressing book a lot of the times, but at the same time, it's just, to me, the reason why I love it is it's just great drama. And I was thinking about this with a show that I love, Mad Men, which there are times on Mad Men that just some really bad things happen to the characters, and Breaking Bad is another show, two of my favorite shows on TV. I was just thinking about this, and they're both on AMC, which The Walking Dead is on AMC, but half of me I feel sad or depressed when a bad thing happens to one of my favorite characters, but then the other half is like, well, but this is great drama, and it's really interesting to see what's going to happen. How is that character going to respond? So it's like half of me feels bad for the character, and then half of me wants bad things to happen to the character. So that's how I feel with The Walking Dead, too. And I think that's an element or something that makes it great drama to me. So that's what I really like about The Walking Dead. And Robert Kirkman, I'm sorry, the writer, has said repeatedly that this is something that he wants to go on forever. And he was – actually, I was reading something that he was – talking about his original kind of idea and inspiration for the series was that he had seen so many zombie movies that once he got to the end, he was like, that's it? That's the end? And he wanted them to just continue and continue and continue. So he said, okay, well, with this comic book, I can just keep writing the story and keep it going and keep it going. And that's something that, I mean, he's been able to do it for 78 issues. And I was reading, when I was going back and reading the first trade, I was like, I saw the little date when the artist kind of does their signature, and Tony Moore put 03 on there, and I was like, man, it's been since the first issue, which was October of 2003, it's been 7 years of The Walking Dead coming out, and I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's been 7 years. It feels like it's been a lot less than that, but that is an amazing feat and accomplishment.
And, you know, back to what you were saying that Kirkman had said about continuing it and wanting it to go on. I totally understand what he's talking about, because if you look at something like Dawn of the Dead, it's like they get on the helicopter at the end, and I'm just going to say they, because you know at least one person survives if you haven't seen it. Like get on the helicopter at the end and fly out, and it's, or I don't even know if it's a helicopter. I think that might be Death Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But however they escape, it's like they escape, but you never know what happens. And it's like, you know, do they get rid of the zombies? You know, what ends up going on here? And I think that that's one of the issues with zombie movies and zombie genre, especially, because it's like there's no real way to answer that question. And again, with Walking Dead, unless these characters all die, you know, like every single one of them, and then this group that we're following is gone, there's no other way to really end the series, because you're just going to be left with questions the entire time. And like even Shaun of the Dead, which was, you know, a lighthearted zombie romantic comedy, you know, it's still wrapped with, you know, Simon Pegg's character playing, you know, video games with Nick Frost's character. And it's like Nick Frost is a vampire, or not vampire, what am I talking about? he's a zombie, and it's like they're playing video games together. And it's like, well, I would really be interested to see how this goes. And like, but they still even sort of put like a you know, an end to it, but you still end up wondering what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think The Walking Dead, the first two trades are definitely just a stepping stone to the greatness that the series gets to later on. And at some point we should probably revisit and go back through all of the annals of these 13 volumes that have come out, because there's a lot of stuff that's come out. But this really is a great place to start for the TV show, which is starting this week on Sunday.
And it should be based off of what we just went over.
Yeah. So, and that was another thing where Robert Kirkman, I've heard him in numerous interviews talk about, well, you know, if I've read the comic, then I know everything that's going to happen. and he's assured us that there are some things that are faithful to the comic, but at the same time, this series can go off and be write its own path and not necessarily follow everything that happens. It's not going to be one of those Watchmen-type adaptations.
Yeah. And I'm willing to bet that it's going to, probably after this first season.
Yeah.
Like, this first season, I'm willing to bet it's going to be predominantly based off of what happens with the comics. And then it'll go from there. I mean, we'll see that, you know. Because I'm sure that it's not going to last, you know, 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to make it the 5-year mark. I mean, they're probably going to have, like, well, not even, that's considering, you know, it would have, like, 22 episodes a season, which that's not happening.
Yeah, like, this first one is 6 episodes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like that's you know, it's not this. The show is not going to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's legit. I mean, the comic series obviously can't go forever either because I mean, at some point Robert Kirkman is going to have to die. but just being honest, unless there is like a zombie virus breaks out and he ends up being
writing it as a zombie.
They can pass it on to new writers.
Do you think Kirkman would actually do that?
Well, if he's dead.
Well, I mean, but like, I mean, like, he's gonna like die with a like pen in his hand writing. Well, he wouldn't be doing that anymore.
Walking Dead 1000.
I don't see that happening. I mean, like, just in reality. But even if he did, you know, there's no way the television show is gonna go that long. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're gonna get it condensed down a lot. Probably keep some events, but I mean, of course, it makes sense to break off on its own because it doesn't. It by no means. If you were going to base one thing, like if you're going to take one property and adapt, I think that Walking Dead is probably one of the best because it allows for so much, you know, so much to add to it. Like you can't do like, well, Batman the Long Halloween television series because that's going to be horrible, you know. You can't do that with a lot of other things. So I think even Invincible, it's like you kind of have to keep it on track. But with Walking Dead, yeah, that definitely gives you a whole world to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you go to iTunes right now, you can see a sneak preview of the Walking Dead TV show. And for free, there's the first episode of the motion comic, which is kind of like the first issue of Walking Dead. And also on iTunes, they have the iOS device compatible Walking Dead. So there's the iPhone and the iPad and the iPod Touch. You can get the first issue of The Walking Dead for free, and then from there you can purchase all of the issues and the trade paperbacks, which are just the, you know, 6 issues tied together into one digital file. But that's actually how I went back and was rereading them, was through the Comixology app, or it's just the Walking Dead app, I should say. It's powered by Comixology. So that's, if anybody's out there wanting to get caught up on The Walking Dead after, if you've read these 2 issues, or I'm sorry, if you've read these 2 trades and you want to keep on going, you have that route. There's the digital route, and there's the physical route, which you have to go to instocktrades.com or DCB Service Hunter Camp, because those are the best places to save money.
Good job.
So I think that's going to wrap up this episode, my friends. The first 2 collections of The Walking Dead, Days Gone By and Miles Behind Us. It's the first 12 issues. We all give it a big thumbs up, and we hope you do too. So for more of our lovely ramblings, you can always catch us on geeksofdoom.com. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/comicsofdoom. Send us an email, comicsofdoom@gmail.com, or leave us an iTunes review, my friends. Comics of Doom, dooming you since 2010, Hunter Camp.
Yep, that's what we do. We doom you.
We'd like to very much thank Brian Mercator, our lovely friend, for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You can find Brian's,
this is a lot of fun.
You can find Brian's writings at geeksofdoom.com under Mercator. And he's got a little Xbox Live avatar, which I like to look at every time I see something that he's written, so kudos to you, Brian, for that.
Thank you, sir.
And join us back again for our regular scheduled programming, my friends. We will be talking about the Walking Dead TV show on Comics of Doom, so stay tuned for that. But on behalf of our special guests, Brian Mercator, Hunter Camp, myself, Justin Vector, we've just taken you The Walking Dead.